This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Welcome, one and all, down here, up there, high and away over there. Hello, gentlemen, ladies, good to see you. Welcome, one and all, to The Late Show. I am your host, Stephen Colbert. Now, folks, if you watch the show regularly, and I hope you do, you know that I try to have a pretty positive outlook on the world, such as it is. I see the glasses half full. I don't always know what the liquid is, and I'm definitely not drinking it, but it's half full. But current events have me a little unsettled, a little flirpy about America's future. And I'm not alone, because according to a recent CBS News YouGov Mountain Dew Code Red poll, America's mood is uneasy and worried. Things are so stressful, our national bird is now the balding eagle. So looks good. Long may he wave. He's gonna save it. According to the poll, 74% of Americans say things in America are going badly, and 65% of Americans say that when important things come up, President Biden is slow to act. Well, yeah, he's 79. At his age, if he moves too fast, he'll get bruised by his shirt. The GOP doesn't fare well in this poll either, because the Republicans are described by a majority as extreme. GOP responded, "This poll is illegitimate. No one feels that way. And when we return to power, anyone who feels that way will be sorry when we make the purge real." Speaking, good movie, though. Quality movie. Speaking of the president dealing with our problems, he left us. He's in Asia. This weekend, he was in South Korea, and during a press conference, he was asked about the threat that North Korea might shoot off some missiles while he's over there.
Hello. Period.
First of all, whose idea was it to hold a press conference in front of a raging waterfall? That's what you do if you're a mobster and you're afraid somebody's wearing a wire. Today, he held a press conference next to a guy operating a jackhammer. And that message itself, hello, has got to be pretty disappointing for Kim Jong-un. He spent 4 years being the focus of U.S. foreign policy, getting love letters from the former president. All he gets from Biden is hello? It's the most casual presidential greeting of an adversary since Reagan said this at the Berlin Wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, how's it hanging, bro?
How was it hanging? I remember how it hung, how it hang.
To the left,
to the right. But North Korea is not the only foreign power Biden has a message for. Today, while in Tokyo, Japan, he was asked this hypothetical about China attacking Taiwan.
Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
Gulp? Come on, Joe, we have enough going on. It's like that old Coco Chanel saying, before you leave the house, look in the mirror and don't go to war with China. Biden's very blunt statement surprised many, including the reporter who asked it, so she followed up.
You are.
That's the commitment we made.
He sounds so resigned. I know the spark has gone out of our marriage, Doris, but it's a commitment we made, so let's go upstairs and do the nasty. I guess, or right here on the kitchen counter. It's not like the kids are around anymore to interrupt us. But this is important because the U.S. has historically warned China not to use force against Taiwan while generally remaining vague about how far it would go in a policy called strategic ambiguity. Johnny, tell them what strategic ambiguity means.
If you invade Taiwan, you'll get whatever's in the mystery box. It could be a nuclear strike or a Broyhill dinette set. May God have mercy on our souls, Steve.
Thank you, Johnny. So, seems like Biden might have just stepped in it a little bit, which is why, after his very firm yes, he did a little backstroke.
Look, here's the situation. We agree with a one China policy, but the idea that it can be taken by force, just taken by force, is just not appropriate. It'll dislocate the entire region and be another action similar to what happened in Ukraine. And so it's a burden that is even stronger.
I would describe the Biden foreign policy as wistful anxiety. He's just following Teddy Roosevelt's famous dictum, speak softly. Now, when the president was over in Asia, he addressed the hot new virus everybody's talking about. And I'll tell you all about it in our unfortunately recurring segment.
Planet of the Monkeypox.
Take your sticking pox off me, you damn dirty ape.
While he was in Korea, the president was asked about the disease and said that everybody should be concerned. Way ahead of you. And I understand why, because there are more than 190 confirmed or suspected cases in 16 countries, including the UK, Portugal, Germany, Belgium, France, the Netherlands, Italy, Sweden, and Spain. Evidently, monkeypox is traveling through Europe. Even worse, it now insists on pronouncing it Barcelona. Driving in a lorry. Monkeypox has also monkeyed its way over to America, where there is now a third case down in Florida. But that's fine, because Florida knows how to handle the disease outbreak. Right, Governor DeSantis?
COVID, I view as a very minor risk.
Okay. We're all dead. Now, there's a reason monkeypox has been spreading so quickly. According to one infectious disease expert at the WHO, it has gotten into the population as a sexual form, a genital form. Now, I'm no doctor, but I know that the genital form of something is always the worst possible form. I'm sorry, Mr. Smith, it looks like you have a sinus infection. The genital form. Here's a... Here's a nasal spray. You're not gonna like where that goes. Thanks to our meddling genitals, this could just keep spreading. The WHO is concerned monkeypox could accelerate during summer months with mass gatherings like festivals. So be careful around primate-themed festivals like Lollapalooza, Chimpchella, and Bonoboru. There is, however, some good news for the babies, and it's not just that I never really had your nose. I'm sorry for the mix-up. Because to help relieve the country's ongoing formula shortage, on Sunday, the U.S. military airlifted baby formula from Europe. That is a shocking headline. The United States, the land of the free and home of unlimited breadsticks, has been forced to airlift formula from Europe because we can't feed our babies. If I told you 5 years ago this was happening, you'd say, that's got to be the worst news of the day, and then I would tell you about genital monkeypox. But, which also came from Europe, which we also got from Europe. But thanks to our European friends, our babies are now ready to chow down on 132 pallets of formula from Zurich, Switzerland. Ooh, and the Swiss formula is the best. It's got those little marshmallows in it. And I'm being told we've just received footage of the formula landing.
Here comes the plane. Open up. Nom, 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 nom.
Speaking of whiny little babies, billionaires. According to a new study, during the COVID pandemic, a new billionaire was created every 30 hours. Specifically, between March 2020 and March 2022, 573 people became new billionaires, including 40 new pharmaceutical billionaires, which is so sad. You know they're just going to blow it all on drugs. We also saw the addition of 62 new food billionaires. And we actually have a reaction from one such billionaire.
I'm rich, bitch.
We got a great show for you tonight.
More Late Show Pod Show after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But before we go on with the rest of the show, I just want to take a moment here to give a shout out to our podcast out there. For those of you who listen to the podcast, which is everyone at this point, our podcast is every episode of The Late Show plus other stuff that you don't get in The Late Show podcast. I mean, you don't get on the show and the broadcast, like special stuff, like maybe me explaining this right
like
now
this
might
right
be
now.
In the podcast.
Actually, it's kind of meta.
Maybe not on the show. And you can listen to it 7 days a week. But the reason I want to bring that up is that I'm not the only one who likes our podcast. So do the people, because we just won a Webby Award. We won a Webby Award. Look at that. It's practical. You can use this.
Functional.
You can, like, if your suspension goes out on your Jeep, you can put this right in. We won. This is the People's Voice Award for interview/talk show podcast. And we're also an honoree in the comedy podcast category. Thank you, Webbies. Thank you for everybody who voted for this. Thank you to our podcast people for doing the podcast every night. And Louis, I just got one quick question before we go on here, is that I meant to ask you this last week after we had him on, but speaking of our guests, we had Antony Blinken, Secretary of State. You don't get a Secretary of State on one of these late night shows every day. This is the only place Secretaries of State come in the United States. And he got up at the end of his interview and he jammed with you guys over there. He played a little left-handed guitar.
Yeah.
What were you guys playing?
You know, it was a generic blues in A.
Generic blues in A. I love that one.
Yeah. Classic.
So
classic.
How was the Secretary's jamming? Because he's got his own dad band, basically, down in D.C. His name is Antony Blinken, so it's called
A Blinken
is the name of his band.
Is it A Blinken or A Blinken?
It's A Blinken.
A
Blinken.
But it's one word.
It's one word. A Blinken.
A Blinken.
A Blinken. How was his jamming? How would you rate his jamming?
It's great. Bluesy.
I'm not sure who's more diplomatic, the Secretary of State or Louis Cano. So did it cure the blues, or did it give you the blues, his blues playing?
You know, if it's done well, I think it's a little of both.
Wow. Can't you negotiate the peace treaty in Ukraine? All right, anyway, so that conversation right there might be something that's on the podcast that isn't in the broadcast.
There you go.
Right there. And people go home like, what was that conversation? Listen to the podcast and find out. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a daredevil investor, then you know it's been a bit of a bumpy ride recently for cryptocurrency. Bitcoin is down 59% from its all-time high, and Ethereum is down 60%. There's also been a big drop in Amazium, and I just made that upium. With crypto crashing, if you own a non-fungible token or NFT, you are so funged. Because evidently, celebrity-endorsed NFTs are leaving investors financially crippled. Even worse, the NFTs that do still have value just caught monkeypox. Now, reportedly, Some celebrities have gotten big money to endorse NFTs. For instance, Bored Bunny NFTs endorsed by Floyd Mayweather. And there's no better source of long-term financial advice than from a man who made his money getting punched in the head. And while we're here, why Bored Bunny? Do all NFT animals have to be bored? Why can't we be ripped off by something with a little more zazz, like Mildly Interested Marmot or Emo Emu? Now, when the champ, Mayweather, first endorsed Bored Bunnies, each NFT cost about $1,500. Now a Bored Bunny will fetch you $104.09. That's painful, but not nearly as painful as having to tell your kids, you won't be attending college because Daddy bought a picture of a rabbit with a machine gun and a pacifier. And I can see why people got duped. If you go to the Bored Bunny website, you'll see their promise, together, let's build the best exclusive club never seen before. Show to the world how strong and influent we are. And if you fell for that, I'm guessing you were under the influent. Now, it's a red flag. It's a red flag when our retirement plan doesn't have a great grasp of grammar. Reminds me of Capital One's failed ad campaign. Capital One, what wallet inside? Loud and powering.
Coming up, Jennifer Connelly.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is an Academy Award-winning actress you know from Labyrinth, A Beautiful Mind, and Snowpiercer. She now stars in Top Gun Maverick. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Jennifer Connelly, everybody.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Nice to see all of you.
Nice to see you. Lovely to have you back. You know, you've started off your summer in a big way. Because the Top Gun over there in Cannes, the Top Gun Maverick, 6-minute standing ovation at the end, and those French don't give that away for nothing.
It was amazing. I have to say, it was it was the energy. It was palpable. It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I've seen the movie now 3 times with audiences.
Yes.
And every time, it's like people are just ready to have a great time in the movie theater, I think.
Have you seen it in IMAX? Have you seen,
yes,
seen that? Because that's the
IMAX.
One I've been told go see that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think what they've been able to do with the flying sequences now is so impactful.
And there's no green screen. This is all happening.
It all happens.
Yes.
All the actors who are playing pilots, they all went through training. They're up there in the planes, and you can feel it. So, yeah, it's pretty...
I got to ask a very important question. At any point in this movie, and I don't want to don't give anything away.
Okay.
Obviously, no spoilers. But at any point, does anyone in this movie take a highway to the danger zone, or an off ramp to a perilous junction, or something like that? Is there danger zone in the movie?
So much danger zone.
Okay, good. Okay, then you go to London. Okay, here we go.
And we went to London.
This is the royal premiere.
A royal premiere.
There you are.
Which is very special.
Kate and William. Had you met them before?
I had never met them before.
Mm-hmm.
I had once before been to a royal premiere.
I know. I love this photo. You must love this photo, too.
I love this photo.
Tell the folks what I'm about to show them.
It's a photo. The last time I was at a royal premiere was in 1986, and I met Diana.
And this was for?
It was for the movie Labyrinth, which I...
Go.
Was a teenager when I made.
That's a nice photo.
Yeah. You can see how pink my cheeks are. I was so overwhelmed meeting her.
She seemed nice?
She was impeccable.
Wow.
She was impeccable.
You don't
she
look
was
so
lovely.
Bad yourself here.
Oh, thanks.
At age 16, this is the same year the Top Gun comes out.
That's when Top Gun came out, same year.
Wow.
Yeah, a little bit of trivia there.
Did you watch back the original back in the day?
I watched the original back in the day, and I've rewatched it several times.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
I
is there shirtless volleyball in this one?
There might be shirtless something or other.
Okay. Had you met Tom? I call him Tom. Had you met Tom Cruise before?
I had never met the man.
I've never met the man.
You've never met him?
No, no.
He's extraordinary. Yeah. I had not met him before. No.
How is that possible? Because you've been famous since you were 16. How did you not just accidentally cross paths over
there? Yeah, I don't think that happens by accident. I don't think much of anything happens by accident with Tom. I don't think so. Like the preparation, the skill, everything. It's just extraordinary. Yeah. But I met him, and my first impression was kind of the takeaway, which is I've never met anyone more enthusiastic about everything than Tom Cruise.
Wow. Yeah. I think for me, it would probably be the teeth. His teeth are so beautiful. Such beautiful teeth. Now, it's true. You got to grant me that. Doesn't he have beautiful teeth?
Beautiful teeth.
You're no slouch yourself. Those are some nice gnashers.
Thanks.
Because I sit here and I interview the guests, and I'm looking at the teeth most of the time.
Very important.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. Top Gun, incredible flying sequences, you know, in the original. And this one, they say it's, you know, as you said, it's
I think
it really kicked it up, up a notch. But you're not a huge fan of flying.
I know I'm not a big fan of flying, and I actually went through a stage where I was incredibly bad at flying. Like, it was very traumatic for me and anyone anywhere near me on an airplane.
You just lost
your literally nerve. Got to a point where it started with a bang on one flight when we took off, and I just decided it wasn't okay, and I shouted that it wasn't okay
out loud to the whole plane
full of people.
You said what? This isn't okay?
Help! Help! No one came because we were taking off in the seatbelt.
Sure.
Our signs are on.
And your name was on a bad. List
anyway,
somewhere.
Anyway, it was the beginning. It was the beginning
now,
of a bad chapter.
For this, did you do any training? I know you're not a pilot in this, but did you go up? Did you fly with the jets or anything like that?
I wasn't supposed to.
Oh, boy.
But then there was a scene, very lovely scene at one point where we're just, you know, Tom and I are in this plane. We're just supposed to be sitting on the tarmac. And he starts talking to me about this plane, it's a P-51, it's a vintage plane, it happens to be his plane. And have I ever done any aerobatic flying? And am I interested in aerobatic flying? And I start to become suspicious that I'm gonna be doing aerobatic flying. Yes. And I say, am I? And he says, it's gonna be very beautiful. We're gonna do some very gentle, graceful rolls in the plane. And
wow.
And it's Tom, so you don't want, you. Trying to be a little bit cool around him.
Yeah.
So I didn't say, hold on, wait, I have a terrible fear of flying. I said, yeah, that's cool. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Did you take off at that moment? Did you take off?
No, we didn't take off in the moment.
Well, I didn't know. I thought maybe he just trapped you, locked the doors, let's go.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
They planned for it.
Wow.
And, you know,
and how was it? Was it beautiful and graceful and everything you'd want it to be?
Honestly, it was. I mean, look, we started and he started the engine and flames burst out. That surprised me, definitely.
But that's supposed to happen.
Evidently, yes. Yeah. He forgot to tell me that might happen.
Sure. Yeah.
But it actually was. We took off and it was dawn and we were in the desert and it was
kind of beautiful. That's fantastic. Tom, I'll go up with you.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to tempt him. I'm trying to tempt him in some way. Yeah. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I will ask Jennifer if she, like Tom, does her own stunts.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, we're back here with Jennifer Connelly from Top Gun Maverick. Yeah, obviously, Mr. Cruise famously does his own stunts.
Yes.
I do, too. And but do you do your own stunts? Because there's a little action sequence, a bit of an action sequence here, and I want to know if this is really you doing it here. I'm not going to explain what it is. You're not a pilot, but you do pilot something.
I do. I'm at the helm of a vessel.
Jim?
We have to get the boat to the yard.
I can't go.
What do you mean you can't go?
Test tomorrow. I have to study. They only told us today.
Well, I can't sail her alone.
Just use the engine.
Why are we taking her to the yard?
To fix the engine. Mm-hmm.
I can help.
A little rougher than I was expecting.
You don't say.
Pull on the box tank. We'll depower the sails.
Okay. What does that mean?
You're supposed to be in the Navy.
I don't sail boats, Penny. I land on them.
Had you... That's a continuous shot. You're driving that boat there, right?
I am, yeah.
And it's a bit rumply out there.
It was. You know, we filmed that sequence twice, actually. We filmed it the first time outside of San Diego, and it was very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, we had lovely shots, and there were dolphins even swimming beside us. And Tom was like, yeah, this isn't fast enough. So we redid the scene, and we went to San Francisco.
For the rough weather.
For the rough weather, for the, you know, for the wind, and that's what we have.
How, did you, had you sailed before?
I was taking lessons before, in preparation for the movie.
So just for this movie?
Yeah,
because that's a sizable boat. There's probably 36, 40-foot boats, something
like
that.
Yeah, and we're moving really fast, so,
yeah.
It was,
do you like the feeling of the
I loved
the helm
it.
In your hand?
Yes, sounds like a euphemism, but yeah.
Sure. Yes, it can be both.
It was great. It was amazing. I was taking lessons in I started in New York here, and you know, because I live in Brooklyn, and
so out in the harbor?
I was taking lessons in the harbor, which was interesting.
That's busy.
Yeah, it's kind of like learning how to drive on the Autobahn, you know. Like, I don't recommend it as a first.
Or learn how to skateboard on the Autobahn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I was doing that, and everywhere I went before filming, I was trying to take. Sailing lessons to prepare.
Well, Jennifer, it's lovely to see you. Thank you so much for being here.
It's lovely to see you.
I look forward to seeing it in
Thank
IMAX.
Thank you. Thank you.
My best to your husband.
This has been The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.